Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to go ahead and thank Andrew for sending in a one-time donation at support.greatdetectives.net. Thank you so much for your support. And you can also donate through the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date is July the 30th of 1950, and the title is The Money Changers.
Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Hey, Rocky.
Oh, what's up, Chris?
Take a look at that table back in the corner. Our old friend, Ali Fayed.
Oh, the little guy used to do odd jobs around here.
The same. Only now, look at his expensive clothes. And he's selling the customers something.
What's he selling?
I don't know. But whenever a tourist comes in, he goes over to that table and talks to him. Once in a while, somebody goes back to his table with him. Out of sight. Ah, here's one with him now.
Okay, I'll take care of it. Hello, Ali.
Oh, Effendi, Jordan.
Sorry to break up your little transaction here, but this is not a bank, and you're not a banker, Ali.
Oh, Mr. Jordan.
Outside. Sir. Now, Imshi.
Now, look here.
And it's for you. I can't stop you from dealing in black market money, but I can stop you from doing it at my cafe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Changing money at less than the legal rates against the law carries a stiff penalty.
Mr. Jordan, how dare
you? I said outside for you, Ali. Now I'm going to throw you out.
Mr. Jordan, you will regret this. You will pay for this insult. You will pay dearly.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte, the best liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world, takes you now to the Cafe Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Tonight, Rocky Jordan's story,
The Money Changers.
Well, that's the way it started, running a two-bit black marketeer out of the tambourine. His threats didn't bother me. Maybe they should have, because things started to happen fast after that. It was less than 2 hours later that I had my first visitor. He was a big, beefy, coarse-looking American. The kind who can spoil Bond Street clothes with an oversized diamond stick pin.
Jordan, name's Murdoch, J.C. Murdoch.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Murdoch?
Maybe it's the other way around, Jordan. Maybe I can do something for you.
I'm listening.
I hear you ran one of my boys out of here this afternoon, Jordan.
One of your boys? Oh, you mean Ali Fayed?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was smart enough to play that game alone. So it's your game?
Yeah, my game. There's plenty of money in it. More than you make selling sandwiches and beer to tourists.
Where are you driving at?
I got a proposition for you, Jordan. A partnership, you might call it. I can guarantee you maybe $1,000 a week, clear.
For what?
Nothing. Just the use of your cafe. We'll make it a clearinghouse. We'll do more business here than the Bank of Cairo.
You mind telling me how it works? Selling over the legal rate?
Not selling, buying. Americans in Cairo have no idea what their dollars are really worth.
And what are they worth nowadays?
Well, to certain customers, rich Egyptians, 60, 70, sometimes even 100% more than the regular rate of exchange.
But why?
Simple. They can't take Egyptian money out of the country, but American dollars are like gold anywhere, so they convert their Egyptian pounds to dollars. Even at a big loss.
But aren't they still restricted? Not allowed to take American money out of the country either?
Yeah, but we got ways of helping them. That's part of our service. At a slight extra cost, of course.
All very smart. Very illegal.
And very lucrative. Well, Jordan, how about it?
Like I said to Ollie, get out.
Oh, now, wait a minute. If it's a bigger cut you
Beat
want...
Beat it. The only time I'm ever ashamed of being an American is when I meet phonies like you.
Okay, pal, you're asking for it.
Go on, pal, give it to me.
That I will. When you get it, I don't think you're going to like it.
Get out.
Again, I figured the threats were pure bluff. How wrong can you be? The first thing that happened was when Sergeant Greco came steaming into the tambourine with a beautiful young lady in tow and a smug grin splitting his face from ear to ear.
Mr. Jordan, you are pleased to come with me.
Talking about Greco.
I am talking about you and this complaint which this young lady, Miss Martha Helvig, has issued against you.
Complaint? What about?
Mr. Jordan, how can you ask that?
What am I supposed to have done?
You overcharged her in your cafe. Then when she complained, you insulted her. And finally, you struck her.
I what?
You most certainly did. Do you not remember?
I remember everything that's happened to me for days. You haven't even been in this cafe.
Why, I
Mr.
was
Mr. Jordan,
here.
You shall answer to the magistrate. Come with me, and if you should resist, I shall be pleased to take you by force. Good day, miss.
It was a ridiculous situation, but there was nothing I could do about it except go in and answer the complaint and post bail. Obviously, it was a frame, a nuisance attack, and the girl was a confederate of Murdoch's. That's why I was very surprised when I got back to the tambourine and found her waiting at one of the tables, cool and poised and blonde and beautiful.
Hello, Mr. Jordan. Would you not sit down?
What are you doing here?
Please, Mr. Jordan, I want to apologize. I thought it was a kind of a joke. But now I see that it was not an... I'm so very, very sorry.
Did your boyfriend Murdoch put you up to this, too?
Oh, Murdoch is not my boyfriend.
Did you know him?
Oh, yes. He said it was a joke. He promised a gift. But I did not understand Mr. Murdoch until now. I did not think he was like this. Like an American gangster to... How'd you say it? Put upon the pressure.
Okay, so I'm sold. You're sweet and innocent, okay.
Thank you. You forgive me?
Sure, forget it.
Thank you. Oh, but Rocky, I must tell you, this man Murdoch, you must be very careful of him. Perhaps it would be safer to... Do what he asks, no?
No. That's bad advice, baby. Thanks anyway. Now, come on, drink up. This time it's on the house.
That started it, but it was only the start. Most of it was nuisance stuff, but it kept getting more serious. First, expensive orders showed up at the cafe that nobody had ordered. Somebody threw a rock through a plate glass window. Then all my vats of beer went bitter mysteriously overnight. The next night, the meat was spoiled. It was beginning to get on my nerves, so I figured I'd better have a talk with Sam Sabaya, captain of the Cairo police.
But what can I do, Jordan? Some meat is spoiled, some beer goes bad, somebody throws a rock through a window. How am I to find him?
It's all the doings of this mug Murdoch.
Perhaps, Jordan. But how am I to prove it?
Aren't you interested in Murdoch's black market operations?
Oh, very much. But that is even more difficult to uncover and prove. We can pick up many of little importance, like your man Ali Faid. But they do not amount to anything. It is Murdoch or even someone higher whom we must find. And that is very difficult. Unless...
Unless what, sir?
Unless someone were to help trap him.
You mean accept his proposition?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, once the tambourine got that kind of reputation, it'd stick.
As you say. So you see, the solution to this problem is not an easy one.
Yeah, but... Somebody's got to get Murdoch. Looks like it's up to me.
Not entirely, Jordan. But let me suggest that you be very careful.
Let him be careful.
After that, things happened fast. Back at the tambourine, I found that Murdoch had been calling. 10 minutes later, he called again.
Okay, Jordan, you had a little sample. Are you going to play it my way, or do you want the full treatment?
I don't threaten easy, Murdoch. I'm ready any time you are. I was ready, only I figured I'd move first, but I wasn't quite sure what my move would be until a little before closing time. Like an answer to a prayer, the blonde wandered into the cafe and sat at the bar. I went over.
What'll it be, ma'am?
Hey, be careful, Chris. Don't overcharge the lady.
Oh, Mr. Jordan. Now you see you've not forgiven me.
I just have a cautious nature.
And here I was hoping that perhaps we could be friends.
really good friends.
Well, that might not be hard to take, but what would your boyfriend Murdoch have to say?
I told you he's not my boyfriend, nor any friend at all now.
Oh, glad to hear it. But maybe you could still tell me where I could find him, huh? You know, he doesn't advertise.
Oh, but Rocky, you mean that you're going to do business with him?
Well, that depends on what you call business. You know where I can find him?
Well, yes, he lives at the Haifa Arms, apartment 4D.
Thanks, baby. Maybe we can be friends after all. Chris, you'll have to close up. I got places to go.
Okay, Rock.
Oh, but Rocky...
And this time, definitely, the young lady's drink is on the house. The Haifa Arms was one of the swankiest apartment houses in Cairo. And for a minute, I thought the big Sudanese doorman wasn't going to let me in. But he just eyed me like a criminal as I went in. I passed up the elevator and walked up. Outside 4D, I listened a moment before I knocked. There was no answer. Suddenly, I realized what a fool I'd been, leaving the tambourine unprotected. Murdoch never waited long to put his threats into effect, and if that girl still worked for him, she might have deliberately lured me away. I lit out for the tambourine on the run. When I swung around the corner and saw the front door, I heaved a sigh of relief. It was all dark and peaceful. Chris had closed up and gone, and everything seemed in good order. I unlocked the front door and went in. I figured I'd better have my gun, just in case. So I went to get it from under the bar where we always keep it, but it wasn't there. Ordinarily, Chris wouldn't take it with him. Still, there might have been a reason. Now, there was nothing to do but wait till morning and ask him. Everything seemed quiet, so I went upstairs and lay down on the bed, fully dressed, dozing a little, half listening for any unusual sound. About 2:30 it came, but not what I'd expected. I got off the bed and headed downstairs for the front door. Somebody was knocking on it loud enough to wake the mummies in the museum down the street. All right, all right. Well, Sergeant Greco.
Yes, Mr. Jordan.
Sam. Well, come on in.
No, Mr. Jordan. You will come with us.
What is this, Sam?
May I ask, Jordan, were you at the Haifa Arms tonight?
Yes, I was.
And is this your gun?
Yeah, it looks like it anyway. Where'd you get it? I just discovered it was missing.
I'm afraid you will have to come with us, Jordan. We must question you concerning the murder of J.C. Murdoch.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Here now is Larry Thorpe.
Tomorrow, when you're looking for something different in fruit, something your family will take to like nothing you've ever seen before, get those juicy, wonderfully delicious Del Monte pineapple chunks. And you've enjoyed pineapple before, but this is the style and the brand that gives you an extra measure of tropic enjoyment. Del Monte pineapple chunks are big, generous wedges of tender, golden fruit. They're about 1 inch long by 1 inch wide, sliced double thick, so juicy. Think how grand they'd be in salads, or decorating a cake, or broiled with meats. Really, there are more things you can do with chunks. But the best of all is to enjoy them just as they come, cool, luscious, and refreshing, brimming with that superb Del Monte pineapple flavor. Now, there's the matchless tart sweetness of exclusive strains of pineapple packed gloriously ripe, the way you find it in all styles of Del Monte pineapple. Remember, I'm talking about chunks. Del Monte pineapple chunks. They're distinctively, excitingly good. Ask your grocer tomorrow.
And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Money Changers.
I had expected trouble, but nothing like murder. And so, sitting in Sam Sabaya's office in the cold light of dawn that morning, things didn't look too good.
Well, Jordan, it is your gun, and the shot was killed. Mr. J.C. Murdoch was fired from it. The doorman saw you at Murdoch's apartment house last night. Yes, you did not stop at the desk nor use the elevator. You had a motive. You even threatened Mr. Murdoch, in fact, right here in this office.
Oh, I admit all that, Sam, but it just doesn't make sense. Look, he called me tonight and threatened trouble. Okay, this is trouble, but he'd hardly bump himself off just to make trouble for me.
Yet it is your gun. How did it get there?
I don't know. Must have been stolen from the cafe somehow.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, especially for me. Look, Sam, I didn't kill Murdoch.
I know that, Jordan.
You do?
I had to bring you here for the official questioning, and it may be difficult for me to convince anyone else in the Cairo Police Department you are innocent. But for myself, I know.
How?
You are not so stupid as to leave your own registered gun beside the body. But the murderer must be, to believe so obvious a trick would succeed.
Yeah, but who is he?
Probably some black market associate of Mr. Murdoch's who knew your habits and where you kept your gun in the tambourine.
Wait a minute. Of course, Ali Faid. He worked for me once.
Exactly. That is why I sent word an hour ago to pick up Ali Faid. And now, Jordan, if you...
Oh, you come across there.
Captain Sabaya, I must see you. You must see... Oh, Rocky. Rocky, you're all right?
Sure.
Oh, Rocky, thank goodness.
May I ask what is your name, young lady?
I'm Martha Helwig.
German?
Swiss. Captain Sabaya, you must believe me. Rocky did not kill Mr. Murdoch.
What makes you so sure?
Because he could not. I live in the same building. He came to see me. He was with me all the time.
How then does it come about that Mr. Murdoch was killed with Mr. Jordan's gun?
I don't know.
And who then did kill Mr. Murdoch if Mr. Jordan did not?
I don't know.
Young lady, this is a very noble gesture. But when you wish to save a man from a charge of murder, you had better think up a much better story.
Oh, but please.
Yes, Sam.
Perhaps Jordan will have other things to say to you. If so, he may please. Do it outside. I am very busy.
Come on, Marta, outside. So long, Sam. Let me know about Ali, huh? And thanks.
You are welcome, Jordan. Good morning to you both.
Okay. Now, what was that all about?
What, Rocky?
I don't get you.
Don't you? I'm simple enough.
Did you really think you could save me from a murder rap?
I didn't know I had to try. Oh, Rocky, please. I was afraid for you. I am still. Please, you must get out of Cairo. Go away before it's too late. I have a home in Switzerland. You can go there. We can go there, if you wish it.
Well, that's quite an offer, but I'll have to think it over. It's a little too sudden for me.
Now you'll need some sleep. I will see you this afternoon at the tambourine. Until then. Good morning, darling.
Yeah. Good morning. She was soft and blonde and beautiful. And she knew definitely how to kiss. As I dropped off to sleep that morning, her face kept floating around in front of my eyes. The trip to Switzerland seemed like a swell idea. But after 5 or 6 hours of sleep, I awoke with a clearer head. First, I called Sabaya.
We have been unable to locate Ali Faidi and Jordan, but we are scouring the native quarters, searching houses of all known black market criminals. Sooner or later, we will get him. In the meantime, it is best that you remain quiet and out of sight.
Then, in the middle of the afternoon, I had a visitor.
I'm a lawyer, Mr. Jordan. George Cranston of Farouk and Cranston. We have a client. I'm not at liberty to divulge the name. Who would like to buy your cafe, the Cafe Tambourine?
Yeah? What's the offer?
$40,000 to be deposited to your account in a Swiss bank.
Oh, okay. I'll think it over. But call me tomorrow, huh? Now, please excuse me.
Hey, Rocky.
Here, Chris. What is it?
It's a note. Some Arab kid just brought it in. I figured it was important.
Let's see. It is important. Listen, Mr. Jordan, I have the information you want. Come quickly to the house of Ahmed Haddar in the Street of the Blue Camel. Hurry. It's signed Ali Faid.
What do you make of it, Rocky?
I know, Chris, but I'm going to go down there and find out. It was deep in the native quarter, in that maze of tiny twisted alleyways, teeming with all the sights and smells of the East. It took me almost half an hour and a lot of diplomatic questions in Arabic to find the house of Ahmed Haddar.
Assalamu alaikum, Effendi.
You are Ahmed Haddar?
I am.
Is the man Ali Faid in your house?
You are Rocky Jordan?
I am.
He is. Come. Since his last visitor, he sleeps.
Visitor? Who is that?
I know not. A small man, very slim, with hat pulled far down over his face. He came and went quickly, perhaps 30 minutes ago. There, that room.
No, thank you. Shall I just go in?
As you wish. I shall be in front, watching.
All right, thanks. Ali Faid hadn't answered my knock, and now I knew why. The last visitor had been the last he'd ever have. He lay on the floor with his eyes open, and a knife in his chest.
Open up! This is the police!
No! No, you better come in!
Let us in! We are going to search the house!
I recognized that voice, Sergeant Greco of the Cairo police. He was coming in here where I stood trapped over a murdered man. I was fresh out of alibi. Then something on the floor caught my eye and I got the answer to everything. Now I had to get out of there before Sergeant Greco got in.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story.
Who's looking for a long, tall glass of real refreshment?
You?
Then I hope there's a big, frost-beaded pitcher of Del Monte pineapple juice handy right now, ready to quench your thirst with its cooling, tart, sweet flavor.
Why, Larry, that's one thing you'll always find at our house in the summer. Lots of Del Monte pineapple juice. It's really an ideal drink for the whole family.
Oh, that breezy tropic flavor tastes good any time you're thirsty, from breakfast to bedtime. It's not too tart and not too sweet, because Del Monte packs its own specially selected strains of pineapple just when natural tartness and sweetness are in perfect balance. So it's the perfect juice for all-round use, tempting and tropical, healthful, sweetened only by energy-giving natural fruit sugars. You can drink all you want.
And so can the youngsters, Larry. Don't forget that. It does your heart good to see them enjoy a drink that's so good for them.
Oh, try this tropic refresher, friends, and remember all the other delicious Del Monte juices, too. There's orange, grapefruit, orange and grapefruit blend, prune, and, of course, Del Monte tomato juice. Look for them at your grocer's tomorrow.
Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Trapped there over the body of Ali Faid with the police breaking in the front door, I was in trouble again with no time for explanations. There was only one back window in the room and a long drop down to the street, but I took it. Then I grabbed the first taxi I could find and rushed back to the modern part of town. At the Haifa Arms, the Sudanese doorman wasn't there to stop me, but it took a minute at the desk to inquire for the apartment. It was 4C on the same floor as Murdoch's. I knocked at the door.
Oh, Rocky. Why, I did not expect you. Come in.
Thanks, baby. Ah, nice place.
Yes, it is. I was just about to come down to the tambourine to see you.
Well, not dressed like that, I hope. Slacks, jacket. You look almost like a man.
Of course not. I was going to change.
Should have done it sooner. You also wear a man's hat sometimes? Pull low over your face so that you might be mistaken for a man. A slim man.
Rocky, what are you talking about?
You're a little careless, aren't you? You lose things. For instance, a very expensive Swiss watch. A woman's watch. Like this.
Yes, I did. This makes it perfect. I was worrying that the police would find it.
Yeah, they might have figured out that you killed Ali Faid to keep him from telling me that he stole my gun for you.
So?
Then you used it to kill Murdoch and tried to pin it on me. Why, Marta?
I needed your tambourine for a clearinghouse. Murdoch worked for me and he was getting big ideas. Too big. He thought he could run things better than I, so in eliminating him, I figured I could gain a hold over you. An example of what could happen to you.
Then you ran the black market deal. And it was your lawyer who offered me the $40,000 in the Swiss bank.
Yes. What about it? Do you accept?
You mean you think you're still going to be in business after this?
Why not? See him, Abdul.
What? Yes, my lady.
Who are you?
You see, Jordan.
Yeah, the Sudanese doorman works for you, too.
Abdul is big and stupid, but he is our most helpful servant.
So now there'll be one more murder to your score.
I'm afraid so. I'm taking the night plane to Zurich, leaving in 2 hours. I have a package of $20,000 to take out for one of my clients. On the way to the airport, we'll drop you.
Oh, thanks. I don't suppose it means anything to you that once you asked me to go to Switzerland with you. I don't suppose that kiss meant anything, huh?
Oh, please.
It wouldn't mean anything if I told you I loved you. If I said I don't care what you are or what you do.
Not even if I believed you. A long time ago, I decided that it was my great misfortune to be a woman. I also decided that I would not let that fact interfere with anything I wanted to do, and I have not. I use my femininity when it can be useful to me, but I never let it interfere with good business.
I guess that answers my question.
Definitely, Mr. Jordan. Tie him up, Abdul.
It was dark when we drove out through town and into the desert. Maybe a mile short of the airport, in a desolate and deserted section, they pulled off on a side road and stopped.
All right, get out.
I can't. I can't walk all tied up like this.
Untie him, Abdul. I will keep him covered.
When my hands were untied, she handed the small gun to the giant Abdul and walked a few steps away from the car. There was nothing for me to do but get out and follow her. And she stopped and turned.
All right, Abdul. Go ahead.
And a strange thing happened. Abdul stopped walking. As I turned to face him, he wasn't looking at me, but at Marta.
I said, go ahead, Abdul. What's the matter with you, you fool? Abdul.
You treat me like a slave. I am not a slave. With $20,000, I could be a king.
Abdul, what are you thinking of? You will never get away with it.
Yes. I take aeroplane. Go to some other country.
No! Abdul, no!
I am not
no.
your slave.
You'll never get
anymore.
Away with it.
Anymore!
There was nothing I could do to save her, and so I took the opportunity to save myself. I dove behind a bush, rolled over and down a little incline, and came up running. He missed me, and when no more shots came, I knew the gun was empty. I ducked behind a bush, wondering if he'd come for me. He didn't, and in a moment I heard the car start and pull away fast. I went back and looked, but there was nothing I could do for Marta Helbig. She was beyond help. I ran that last deserted mile to the airport, but I was too late. The plane was already in the air, its lights winking as I ran up to the gate. And then I saw them walking up the ramp, Abdul handcuffed between two policemen, and beside them, Sam Savai.
Jordan, what are you doing here?
Oh, good going, Sam. You got him.
Yes. He was using the ticket of Miss Helvig, for whom we were waiting, and we thought he would bear a little investigating.
Oh, you can do better than that. You can book him for murder.
Murder, Jordan?
Yeah. He just killed her a few minutes back ago in the desert there for the money in that suitcase. Why were you waiting for her?
I became suspicious of her after she came to my office this morning. When a routine check showed her name on the passenger list of the plane leaving tonight, I decided to question her before it was too late.
Looks like you were way ahead of me.
Not entirely, Jordan. Now, if you will please accompany us back to the scene of the shooting and explain this case to me, I will be most appreciative.
Why, sure, Sam. It'll be a pleasure.
For superb flavor, for dependable quality always, enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods.
Rocky Jordan, written by John Dunkel and Gomer Kuhl, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and directed by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Café Tambourine run by Rocky Jordan.
Each Sunday for the past year, Del Monte Foods have had the pleasure of bringing you the Rocky Jordan Show. Tonight's program concludes the present series under this sponsorship.
Del Monte wishes to thank the cast, the musical director, producers, and writers for their untiring work. And to you, our listeners, Del Monte extends its sincerest appreciation for your loyal friendship to its products. We hope to renew this friendship each time you enjoy the quality and flavor of Del Monte foods in your home.
Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, Greco was back in this episode and with a vengeance. It's been a long time since we've gotten this much Greco. I can't say that I have missed getting that much Greco, but there you go. And this episode also marked the end of the Del Monte sponsorship, which was a huge blow as television was continuing to take off and draw more revenue from radio. Now, we've heard some series that remain sustained for months on end, even up to a year. This would not be the fate with Rocky Jordan. This series would only have six more episodes as a sustained series, i.e. without having a sponsor. And it's tough to understand or know the reason whether Rocky Jordan had some decline in ratings, if that would be the issue, or it might have been a network policy, because the same month that Rocky Jordan got canceled, they also canceled The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. And there were a few other programs getting the axe from CBS in 1950 as they really faced this challenge of trying to, you know, keep all of their programs running while at the same time, you know, expending all of this effort to get established in TV. And CBS had a lot of high-priced programs after the talent raids, where they'd signed so many stars from NBC. So this was not a great time for Rocky Jordan to lose its sponsor. Well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you so much to Joseph. Joseph has been one of our Patreon supporters since November of 2018. Thanks so much for your support. And join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie, and then next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.